Well, let's play one of your civil rights songs, Not My Kind. Anything you want to say about it before we hear it?
One of the really critical issues in our country and probably in the world today is racism. And as a political songwriter, I would feel certainly inadequate if I didn't have something that addressed that issue. But on the other hand, I'm basically a white male demographic, and it can feel a little awkward to say the right thing, even if you very much support a cause or a people's movement. So I remembered that in the 60s, some of the radical activists of the time would say, well, if white people want to support us, they should go out and talk to other white people and get them to see the light and change their ways. So it seemed to me that maybe that was the way to go, and I tried to put together a song that would not only tell off anybody who's really a dyed-in-the-wool white racist, but would also kind of expose so much of the fallacies and the lies that come out of those kind of people, and the perceptions that are often hidden just under the surface that really can't stand the light of day. And so, as a result, I came up with a song that I call Not My Kind.
You sent them to the rear entrance, made them stand at the back of the bus. 'Cause people of color are not white, there was nothing to discuss. Now you know who's coming to dinner, who moved in next door, who's on the rise, north and south, and who's just a dinosaur. If all you see is race in a person's face, if hate consumes your mind, you're not my kind. Used to own the cotton fields and the housing in the city slum. Your whip became a billy club, keeping people under your thumb. Now the doomsday clock is chiming, your number's up for sure. Now you have to learn to work and fight if you want to make war. If all you see is race in a person's face, if hate consumes your mind, you're not my kind. These walls are going down, and if you're not pack it in, put on your hat. You thought the world was yours by birth in the days of the old plantation. That doesn't cut it anymore. Come meet the hip-hop nation. Well, if you let go of that anger, your vicious ways of the past will start to heal all this hurt and all be free at last. If all you see is race in a person's face, if hate consumes your mind, you're not my kind. If all you see is race in a person's face, if hate consumes your mind, you're not my kind. These walls are going down, and if you're not down with that, pack it in.
Enough said on that. And you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. This is a WBAI Arts special, and I'm Ken Gale speaking with Ray Corona of the Ray Corona Band, mixing politics and music. at www.raycorona.com. That's RAYKORONA. Well, how do you create these songs? Are you, you know, you pretty confident in what they can do? So what is the process of?
Well, I think that there are two ways that I get the ideas of the songs. One is kind of intellectual, and the other is kind of emotional or more mysterious. The intellectual one tends to happen when there's an issue that you know is really, really important, and it's something you care about, and you have a lot to say about it, and you're just hoping that people will be convinced that they need to take some sort of action on it. And so with that kind of song, you're kind of a crass person. You sit down and you maybe read some newspaper articles, you take some good quotes or good ideas, and you put them together, and you try to get some powerful music that will make that work. And sometimes that means making the song dramatic. Sometimes it means making it funny. Sometimes it just means making it catchy and singable.
How do you decide which is which?
Well, I think it depends on the subject matter and also the take that you get. Occasionally, the perspective of the narrator in the song, it can be it can be you. Bob Dylan had a lot of songs where he would talk about you. You've got a lot of nerves, say you are my friend, you know. And then other people feel that the song's more powerful if they talk about themselves, you know. I'm so-and-so, and I do this, and I go here, and I think that, and this is my story. And then there are songs where the narrator is taking a perspective of some sort of a third person in the scene. So a lot depends on what your position is and then what attitude you have about it. If you're writing about yourself and you're love struck or you're very angry about a political injustice, you know, you're going to have a certain amount of that angst reflected in the way the music goes. And it wouldn't be too appropriate to go and make it a la-di-da, funny, you know, witticism song. On the other hand, there are some other issues where what can you say, you know? For example, there may be an issue of climate change. You know, you do the environmental show.
Yep.
You could write another song about climate change being, a very sad, horrible thing, and look at all the things we're losing, and look at the more things we're going to lose in the future. And that song, you probably have a certain kind of melody that might have some minor chords in it, might be more wistful, and have a sadness to it. On the other hand, you might want to write about that climate change with a great deal of sarcasm. You might want to say something like, so what if the ice caps melt? We'll put a tennis court up on the North Pole and we'll make money off of it. Now, you know, they're the kind of Timothy Lear type of style. You can then, depending on all those things, kind of the song will sort of flow along with it. I usually write the words and the music together, in fact. It's very rare, pretty much only when I'm co-writing with somebody who only wants to write either words or music, that I do one or the other, because to me they're kind of inseparable. When I'm writing a song, I pretty much get the words and the melody and the rhythm at the same time. It's almost a chore to not do it that way. It's like speech, I think. If you're going to ask a question, you know, how are you? There's a cadence to that, and there's even a melody. You know, the U goes up a little bit. You don't, if you say, I'm fine, you know, that's got a level sound to it, and it has a certain cadence as well. And I find that music is really just an extension of speech and works that way, at least for me. So that's where the melodies and the rhythms tend to come from. They seem to be dictated by the whole gestalt of the thing. The other kind of song where you're not crafting it, is kind of miraculous and fun, and nobody really knows the answer to where that comes from. It's the kind of song where you sit down and in a few minutes you have these very moving lyrics, and they sound so deep, and people wonder, where did that come from? And you probably don't know yourself. It came from somewhere inside or somewhere through you. So you'll often hear people say, I get these songs from the creative plane up in the sky that I tune into another dimension. Or they say, I get them in my sleep. I don't know. Or they say, I think they're just disguises for things that I feel, experiences I've had in the past that I don't really talk about directly, and they come out as has these twisted versions, but they're powerful because there's so much real energy behind them. There's all that kind of stuff. But my favorite, I think, was the comment that that Arlo Guthrie made about that process. He said that he had heard Bob Dylan speaking, and Bob Dylan said, well, you know, anytime I want a new song, there's millions of songs. They just float down the river. I just reach over and pull one out. And Arlo said, well, I'm really glad I don't live downstream from Bob Dylan.
As one of the people who produces an environmental show here, there's no way I can let this show go without an environmental song. And Listen to the Earth is something I play on Ecologic quite a bit. Tune in to Tuesdays at 11, and you know, anytime. You may end up hearing Listen to the Earth. You want to introduce that before we play it?
Sure. I think the song actually kind of speaks for itself, so instead I'd like to introduce you and say, if anybody hasn't heard this environmental show, I go way out of my way to be able to listen to it on Tuesdays when it's on. And if I can't manage that, as many of you listeners know and probably already do, you can catch up with these things on the WBAI archives on the Internet. So Ken has an incredible show, and I really highly recommend it. And he also has very good music taste, and here's an example.
See it riding up the river, heading right this way. Black smoke from the power plant, another sour day. Everybody's got allergies, young people move away. If you want electricity, that's the price they make you pay. Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know. Yeah. We listen to the earth. We use oil to heat buildings, but it does much more. Fouls the air with emissions, greenhouse gases soar. We'll do anything for oil, drill the planet to the core. Trade a beach for a waste site, bomb a country, start a war. Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth. When I go outside at night, I really want to see stars. Not the blur of deadly smog around a planet full of scars. Can't save us. Don't buy that lie. Just makes sense as a solution to someone who'd like to die. They say nukes make good neighbors. They're safe, they certify. Till they leak radiation or blow sky high. Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Now, who are those other vocals we were hearing on that song?